District Sentinel Radio here, the newscast of record for the left. I'm Sam Sachs.
I'm Sam Knight.
We're in the Harper's A Good Girl studios in Washington, D.C. Check out that website, districtsentinel.com. Hello, intern Nate. How's it going?
Hey, how's it going? How's it going? How's it going tonight, guys?
It's good.
Apologies about yesterday's show. Evidently, the dishwasher was beeping in the background, but we took care of it right now. So it's we will not repeat the same mistake.
Terminated the dishwasher.
Yeah, yeah. The beep was not in your head.
Yeah, and I'm sorry if freaked anyone out. It does sound like the music box from The Conjuring. So apologies for that.
We had some bracket updates to get to. The worst tweet tournament. Getting a lot of press.
Any more yesterday? Did we get any more?
No, but that's enough.
That is enough.
Chuck Woolery right now leading Greg Sulkin in the celebrity bracket. This is Woolery's tweet about how Lenin and Marx were both Jews. Funny that. And Sulkin's grab her by the brain tweet, a fan favorite right now, losing, but I suspect there's going to be a late surge of Sulkin votes once the tweens get home from work. They're going to vote for Sulkin.
Last I checked when we started recording, this was at about 10% Woolery's lead. I expect it'll get much, much closer, if not overturned. Because as we're about to mention, we saw some thrilling comebacks in other round of 32 matches.
Yeah. In current live action, though, Kevin Smith leading Kanye West in the bottom half of the Celebrity Land bracket. I expect Kevin Smith, who's actually the lower seed here, I expect him to pull this one out. I have him going through in my bracket. We've also got Hillary Clinton leading Joe Walsh. Hillary Clinton's describe how your college debt makes you feel in three emojis tweet, which could get out of the clown politician region. At the top of that bracket, though, in the clown politician region, we've got Paul Ryan leading literal Nazi Steve King. Surprise if Paul Ryan wins, even though he's the lowest seed out of there. Highest seed. I mean, which one is it? Whatever.
He's
the two seed. Steve King is the seven seed. Paul Ryan's the favorite, but and he's winning. But Steve King, really disgusting tweet about civilizations and babies and shit. As Sam alluded to earlier, we saw some action in the Acela Corridor and Shitlib regions. Matt Iglesias and Ezra Klein both advanced in the Acela Corridor region, setting up an all-Vox final. Also in the Shitlib region, Ian Millhiser wins in a squeaker, 51-49% over Keith Olbermann. Millhiser's going to go up against Joyanne Reed in the finals of the Shitlib region, who overcame the racist tweet of Claire Jeffrey.
And that one was also close. Joy won by about 6 points, and a lot of people were disappointed with that outcome, pointing out that Joy is sort of paid to not really know about history or geopolitics, whereas there was a lot of really vile racist tones to that Clara Jeffrey tweet.
It's the fried piss Calcutta train station tweet. Well, you can vote right now. Second round action in the Celebrity Land and Clown Politician regions at Worst Damn Tweet. Tomorrow, voting ends, and we pick up action in the Kekistan and Never Trump region. Whew, there are some beauts in that region right there, folks. We're going to see Fedorets for the first time in action in this tournament.
A sight you won't want to miss, folks.
We are all curious to see how Fedorets' 15, she looks fully adult tweet responds on the court.
What's a heavyweight. Like?
Yeah. Quick announcement. We first mentioned it on air to the general public on yesterday's newscast. We're going to say it again. We have a very special live show in Washington, D.C. next month. Just so happens to be on 420. It's on the weed holiday, folks.
Yeah, Friday night. It's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah, we've never done a live show on a Friday night. Normally, they're on Thursday nights. This is going to be wild. A Friday night show. Tickets are on sale. Limited number of seats. Not that many tickets available. They're on sale right now. SquareUp.com/store/District Sentinel. Tickets are $42, but it's all inclusive, baby.
You are going to get your money's worth. I can promise you that. We haven't even announced a guest yet, and we're hoping to get some good guests.
Yep.
But you're already going to get your money's worth. I promise you. I promise you that much.
Yeah, it's just like Sandals Resorts.
Thank God you didn't say hedonism, too.
No, it's not like that. It won't be like that. It'll be like Sandals. So, yeah. Okay.
All-inclusive, kind of right? Right.
Yeah, all-inclusive. It's an all-inclusive joke, not a hedonism joke.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up.
Thank you to all the patrons on Patreon, patreon.com/District Sentinel. Y'all help keep this podcast going. $5 a month gets you access to bonus content and also gets you your own poem, a haiku, that we're going to read on the air right now. This one is for Benjamin. Benjamin Button disease. Trump has it, except he stays a baby.
Thank you, Benjamin. Baby who looks like a very old man who is about to collapse.
Dude looks like a baby.
This is for Optic Path. What's a sad sandwich? A feel awful falafel. I'm here all week, folks.
Thank you, Optic Path. Finally, this is for Jeremy. Expel the Russians. Drive them out into the sea. Reclaim the meme war.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And thank you to all our new patrons. It's patreon.com/District Sentinel. It's Tuesday, March 27th, 2018. Here's the news. The Department of Justice Inspector General confirmed something today that we all suspected. Remember at the beginning of 2016, months after the San Bernardino shooting, when the FBI was claiming they couldn't break the encryption on alleged shooter Syed Farouk's iPhone and thus needed to sue to make Apple break their own encryption? You remember that? Well, a lot of people suspected at the time that the FBI could actually break into the phone, but they also wanted to get a favorable ruling against Apple to weaken encryption products in the future. And a Department of Justice Inspector General report released today confirms that for at least some agents, that was indeed true. The watchdog found that while FBI Director James Comey was telling lawmakers that the FBI couldn't get into the phone, and while the Bureau was filing legal work attesting to their inability to get into the phone, an FBI contractor was 90% of the way to coming up with a method to break into the phone.
The government lies?
Yes, it's true, Nate. Now, the Inspector General concluded that James Comey nor the Bureau lied when they said the FBI couldn't get into the phone. They were just uninformed due to a lack of communication. But the report does also outline testimony from former FBI Executive Assistant Director Amy Hess, who suspected something more malicious. She told investigators that an unnamed unit chief did not seem to want to find a technical solution, didn't really care about breaking into the phone, and that perhaps he knew of a solution but remained silent in order to pursue his own agenda of obtaining a favorable court ruling against Apple. Hess described the Farouk iPhone case as the, quote, poster child for going dark, a term the FBI had coined to describe its challenge, breaking encryption. That unit officer that Hess pointed to, who went unnamed in the report, by the way, later admitted to the watchdog that after the outside vendor came forward to the FBI with a tool for the Bureau to break into Farouk's phone, he became frustrated that the case against Apple could no longer go forward. What a prick.
Prick indeed. Also, an update in our story yesterday about the FBI. A judge denied Noor Salman's request to dismiss charges she played a role in the 2016 Pulse nightclub massacre that had been carried out by her now-deceased husband, Omar Mateen. the subject of the dismissal motion. Last weekend, it was revealed to Solomon's attorneys that Mateen's father was an FBI informant for almost a decade leading up to the attack. So, the Brady violations claims dismissed by the judge in Noor Solomon's case. Remember James Comey Day? I know Nate remembers.
Fucking awful.
It's when bars here in D.C. had drink specials for the former FBI director's testimony on Capitol Hill.
You know, when you say Comey, Sam, I just hear you actually say homie. Because Comey's my homie.
Well, either way, Washingtonians might soon be sucking a Zuck special at their favorite watering holes. Reports emerged today that Mark Zuckerberg will testify when Congress reconvenes after spring break. According to Bloomberg, the Facebook CEO is currently working with staffers to schedule testimony before the House Energy and Commerce Committee. The publication also reported that Zuckerberg does not know what he's going to say yet. Zuck was also asked yesterday to testify in April before the Senate Judiciary Committee, alongside his counterparts from Google and Twitter. And yesterday, the Federal Trade Commission also confirmed it was probing Facebook after reports emerged Cambridge Analytica abused private data to advance its far right-wing agenda. Although critics have been hounding for Zuckerberg to publicly testify, Facebook's stock fell about 3% after the news broke. Can't imagine why investors would have anxiety about the clay boy appearing before a congressional committee.
Yeah, as I was saying before we came into the studio, anybody who's seen The Social Network, Sam Knight hasn't seen it. Nate fucking loves the movie for some reason. All he does is rave about it.
It's very rewatchable. That's why I like it. Cause you can always watch it and you always enjoy it.
You know, Jesse Eisenberg plays Zuckerberg kind of like this sharp-tongued smartass that can put lawyers in their place and conceivably put dumb members of Congress in their place under questioning, wherein the real Zuckerberg is just going to melt into some pasty soup or something in the witness seat as he's grilled by Chuck Grassley or whoever the fuck questions him.
Well, I suspect this is why he's agreed to testify before the House side thus far, because as we know, the average member of the House is way, way dumber
than Chuck Grassley.
Than even Chuck Grassley and the average member of the Senate.
The Trump administration is making changes to the census, set to be conducted next in 2020. For the first time since 1950, the every 10 years questionnaire will ask individuals if they are legal citizens, a question that could discourage undocumented immigrants living in the U.S. from responding. And if people don't respond, then the government can't get an accurate count of populations and immigrant communities, and those areas might then get deprived of federal dollars or congressional representation, which ultimately is probably the point of all this. Several blue state attorney generals have filed suit against the administration, including in New York and California. Now, the Trump administration is claiming they want to bring back the question in order to better assist with enforcement under the Voting Rights Act, which is laughable, thinking that the Trump DOJ or that Jeff Sessions DOJ cares about enforcing the Voting Rights Act, considering they haven't brought any suits under the Voting Rights Act yet. And also, as former Attorney General Eric Holder noted, the DOJ never used census data to enforce portions of the Voting Rights Act.
Finally, the first trade deal of the Trump administration is expected to be rolled out soon. South Korea and the United States are close to hammering out terms to a trade agreement. Today, Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, quote, "We have come to an agreement in principle and we expect to roll out specific details on that very soon." Yesterday, the South Korean delegation outlined part of the deal. According to the New York Times, it involves a quota on Korean steel exports to the U.S., an increase in the allowance of cars imported from the U.S., and in exchange, South Korea will be exempt from the tariff proposed by the Trump administration. Ohio Democrat Sherrod Brown told the New York Times he was waiting to see the details, but that Trump's trade rep, Robert Lighthizer, appears to be making the U.S.-South Korea relationship, quote, better for U.S. workers and auto companies. According to the Wall Street Journal, South Korean officials described their concessions as, quote, modest.
Speaking of Korea, I just want to give a brief shout out before we move on to the rat line to
your fellow train boy.
Yes.
Big day for train boys around the world.
He rode what appeared to be some sort of, or he reportedly, I should say, rode what appeared to be some sort of armored train to Beijing.
Yeah,
to
a train that would make train boys cream in their pants.
And I've been going through a bit of a train phase over the past few days. This was a big moment. Set me a little bit into a quote-unquote rail hole. I started reading about World War One armored trains. Thank you, Kim Jong-un.
Don't say you were reading about it. You were playing Battlefield.
I was not. You can play. That's the best part of Battlefield. You can play in the armored trains.
I like how you go from denying that you were playing it to being like,
"That's the best part."
the armored train is amazing.
All right. That's the newscast for today, folks. Before we go, we got one call on the old listener rant line. Let's check it out.
This is a special Slater Corp. Bulletin. Hey, guys. It's Duther. I know you're busy with the worst damn tweet tournament, but I wanted to call in with news of one of the best damn tweets. My fellow baseball comrade, Lauren, tweeted out on March 24th, I love my job at the Phoenix Convention Center Starbucks, and I love slipping my spare estradiol pills in the coffee of anyone wearing a Western Conservative Conference lanyard. This was picked up by Daily Caller and Laura Loomer, Project Veritas, Western Journal, a bunch of random teacots reporting her to the FBI. She was banned, unfortunately, for this, but she wanted me to send the message out. I apologize to the racists at the Western Conservative Conference for making them grow titties. I want to give a shout out to her You Caring. I know she's going through some tough times right now. And that is the end of the update. Dude Slater, never logging off.
Thank you, Dude Slater, for throwing out one of the best tweets. That was a good tweet. It's a shame that conservatives have such terrible brain rot that they don't understand jokes and then ruin someone's life, but such is Twitter.
Not at all surprised, though, to see virulent right-wing assholes bully a trans woman off Twitter.
I will note...
And IRL.
Yeah. Probably the person who exposed himself to be the biggest dumbass here, other than Lauren Loomer, was James O'Keefe, who pretended like he knew that this whole fake thing was
a real thing.
Yeah. And that he had conducted a sting operation against it. I don't know. It just shows that dude is the biggest fucking scam of them all. It's amazing how many conservatives give that guy money.
Well, don't get me started on conservative media being the water boys and towel boys and billionaires who don't care about actual facts and shit, because then I'm just going to sound like a logic dick.
Call the rant line. Sound like a logic dick. 202-684-6108. Sponsors of the show include the Congressional Dish podcast, hosted by Jen Briney. Find it at congressionaldish.com. Another sponsor, levelnews.org. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or tune in by searching for District Sentinel Radio. Give us a review, give us a rating, tell your friends to listen. The newscast returns tomorrow. We're in D.C., so you don't have to be.